Good morning. If I can get you to turn with me to Colossians chapter number 1 is where we're going to be starting this morning. Colossians in chapter number 1. I already know that starting off, I'm probably going to spend more time defining my term than is really necessary. But if we're going to understand the point that I'm going to try and show you, I need to make sure that when I say the church, that we know what I'm saying, that we understand exactly what I'm referring to. My wife and I were talking yesterday afternoon, and we both came to a realization that I love to talk. It was a surprise to me to finally admit that I do love to talk, but what she realized is that's probably what makes me a good preacher is because I don't like to communicate. When I talk, I don't want you to say anything to me, I just want you to listen. I don't communicate well, and so I'm going to attempt to actually communicate this morning and not just talk at you for 30 minutes here, because nobody wants to listen to what I have to say anyway. So we're going to try to communicate here, and so what we're going to do is, starting in Colossians chapter 1, we're going to get a kind of a running start at verse 18, which is what we're going to be speaking out of. So Colossians chapter 1, let's start reading in verse number 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So as we look through these verses, we see he, we see him. Who are the he's and the him's talking about? Jesus Christ. So we know that when we get to verse 18 and we see he, we know that it's talking about Christ, okay? Verse number 18, and he, being Christ, is the head of the body. And what is the body? The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We learn that through Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 that the church God refers to as the body. So what we're going to try and answer is, what is Landmark Baptist Church? Well, first we see in Colossians 1:18 that the church is the body of Christ. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we'll try to further define what the body of Christ is. I realize that 90% of you, if not 100% of you, have figured this out a long time ago. But I need to be reminded of it, I think. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we're going to look at verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one, speaking of the body of Christ, and the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we've got the fingers, we've got the toes, we've got lots of body parts. They make up one body. Verse number 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So your understanding of the church, when Scripture speaks of the church, it's speaking of every individual that is a part of the body of Christ. That is every person that has ever trusted Christ as their Savior. That is the body, that is the church of Christ. Now, before you get confused in the world church philosophy that we're all just members of one universal church and you don't have to go to a local assembly, where we learn that the body of Christ is every saved individual is in 1 Corinthians. Flip back to me to chapter number 1 and notice where this was addressed. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, starting in verse number 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sonathanus, our brother, verse number 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. It's addressed to a local New Testament church. And that is, we see that many times through the Scripture. So yes, the church speaks of every individual that is saved. But that church is then made up of local New Testament churches, much like the church at Corinth. You read through verse number 2, it says, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So when we talk and try to answer the question, what is Landmark Baptist Church, I want you to think of a package of Oreos. I got to bring my snack, and yes, I couldn't make it this morning without opening the package. I got hungry. I needed breakfast. Okay, just think of a package of Oreos. This is not a good illustration. It's just the only one I could come up with. Okay, the church would be the package of Oreos. That's every person that is saved. What is the church made up of? Inside the package of Oreos, you have local New Testament churches. That's a local church. This is the church at Corinth. Now, there's a lot more than four, I promise. This is their local New Testament churches. And so we are the local church. Well, what's the local church made up of? There's two parts to an Oreo cookie that you must have if you want an Oreo cookie. The first part is the chocolate cookie. Now, if I handed you a chocolate cookie that said Oreo on it, would I be handing you an Oreo cookie? No, because you're missing the most important part about an Oreo cookie, the creamy white center. Which, by the way, this has nothing to do with my message, but they finally, after all these years, they have finally figured out the perfect cream to Oreo mixture. You've had the double stuff Oreos before. They've made it better. They have mega stuff Oreos now. I promise you, I have had them. They do exist. I was walking through the grocery store doing the shopping, which is never a wise idea because there's always stuff that ends up in the buggy that was not on the list, and I always get chewed out when I get home because that wasn't on the list. And I'm walking through the store trying my best not to get anything, and I walk through the cookie aisle completely on accident. I didn't do it on purpose, I promise you. I was thinking about, you know, bread or butter or something, and I'm walking by the cookie, and I saw the mega stuff Oreos. And it's just a perfect, you know, double stuff Oreos, you've got to take two of them and put them together to get the perfect mixture. And well, I don't know, I'm rambling on Oreos now. I'm sorry. But if you figure out, I can't find them anymore. I've had them. I can't find them. If you find them, don't tell me, because I'm going to waste all my money on mega stuff Oreos and buy like a stockpile and freeze them or something. It's horrible. All right, Oreos. That's what we're talking about. Okay, so this is the church made up of two parts. You have the very important part, which is the church building, what houses the actual church itself. Notice that the church, the creamy white filling, that would be those that are saved, those that assemble at Landmark Baptist Church. Now, the creamy white filling is also made up of different things, sugar and other stuff, because I don't know what else. I know there's sugar. That's all I know. And so there's lots of different parts within the body of Christ. So that illustration hopefully will explain to you this. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I consider myself a member or a part of Landmark Baptist Church? Okay? When the Bible says the church, he's talking about you. When I say Landmark Baptist Church, I'm not talking about the buildings. I'm not talking about the cookie shell. I'm talking about the creamy white filling, you and me, the best part about the cookie. We are the creamy white filling. So I want to make sure that as we go through this, I'm not going to give you anything marvelous or drastic that's going to change your lives. I want to show you something that I was going through my junior church class and trying to teach the third through sixth graders about what the church was and trying to define in more detail what the Oreo cookie church really meant. And we did preach the Oreo cookie message. It was fun. I got lots of cookies for free, so it was good. Because, you know, you had to have sermon illustrations. And for some odd reason, my sermon illustration never made it from one week to the next. I had to buy more. It was just a requirement. I was trying to show them this, and God showed, just kind of put a little spotlight on a thought about the church that I had never had before. We as flesh, we do not think biblically unless we try. We naturally, in our natural state, we just think contrary to the way God thinks. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And if we don't dive into words, the Word of God, and allow it to renew our mind, we just automatically start thinking wrong. We have to let God's Word show us how to think. And without meaning to, without trying to be a rebellious Christian, sometimes we think of the church improperly. Let me give you a few examples that might help you understand how we do this. Have you ever had anyone ask you or look at you, or have you ever asked someone, are you going to go to Landmark Baptist Church today? That's kind of a common statement. Do you plan on going to the church today? Well, what does that mean? To say yes, that means that I walked into the church building on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, and then I sat through the service and I left. But is that what it means to go to church? No. Because church is not just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night thing. The church exists outside of these walls because Landmark Baptist Church is every single individual that raised your hand a moment ago. You are the church. On Sunday mornings, what's happening is the church body that is scattered throughout the world the way God wanted us to be so that we could reach the world collects together. We assemble together and we have what we call church. Now, that's just the way we define the term. But sometimes we get stuck thinking that the buildings is what the church is. Maybe you've been, driving from home, from work or something, and as you're driving past the church, say, oh, I need to swing into the church. I left my Bible on the pew. Well, are you really going into the church? No, you're going into the church house, the church building. The church isn't here at the moment because the church hasn't assembled. Does that make sense to you? That is not the church. The building is just a building. There was some hurricanes that came through a few years ago, and of course, we all lost power in our homes, and the church lost power over here as well. But down the street at the college chapel, they still had power, and we like our air conditioning. And so, you know what Landmark Baptist Church did? We didn't assemble here on a Sunday night. We assembled down there. We made a chapel building for a college into what you would call Landmark Baptist Church, because that's where we assembled. If something happened to this building, and then we said, all right, Landmark Baptist Church is going to assemble in the parking lot, guess where Landmark Baptist Church is? In the parking lot. It's not the buildings. Many times you can drive through, let's just say you have a friend or a family member that's come to visit you here in Haines City, and you're kind of showing them the sights, you're driving around, and you're driving down Hinson Avenue, and you see the 10-story college building. And they'll ask, who owns that building? Well, who does own that building? Landmark Baptist Church owns that building. And sometimes we just think of Landmark Baptist Church as a business organization. It's just like any other business, like Microsoft or Walmart. It's just they own property and they accomplish things, and it's a business with a leadership group that directs, and somebody somewhere owns it. But that's not what the church is. When we say Landmark Baptist Church owns that college building, you know who owns that college building? The ones that raise your hands. You are the church. Now, we have a problem with our government because the government has started to lose sight of that fact. They've forgotten that we're not a company, we're not an organization, and we do not operate like an organization does. They require us to, in many circumstances, I believe that to ward off legal battles, we're even an incorporated, just like a business would be, just because we have to protect our pastor, to protect the staff, and to protect you as church members. It's sad that we have to do that. But because the government fails to see that we're not an organization, we're fighting a battle now because the city decides, oh, you're just like any other business, so we can tax you. We're not a business. We're not an organization. We are a called out assembly of believers in Christ Jesus. We're not a business. And so when we think about Landmark Baptist Church, we have to think of it as we are Landmark Baptist Church. It's not a business that I go to a business meeting on certain days. We are the church. We assemble together. Now here's the question I want to ask you that's really the crux of the message that I want to bring to you here this morning. Somebody that you're driving around, they ask about the college building, and then they drive by the school that's right over here, the elementary school. And they say, who runs that school? Well, who does run that school? Landmark Baptist Church. This is what I had to realize. I'm on staff. I work here. I get my paycheck from here. Landmark Baptist Church is not made up of the staff. I am not the sole embodiment of Landmark Baptist Church as a staff member. Now, we look at the school just as an example. The school has certain things that every school will have: a principal, secretaries, teachers. They're all on staff. But is that what the Christian school is? No. Every single ministry we have here, I love Landmark Baptist Church. I love that we are very local church, the exact way that God's word tells us to be. When I came here for college, one of my favorite things, the reason that I stayed here for college, when I came here to college was the year that the Spanish department went through a struggle. And I knew the word of God, and I came in and I stepped in right after this big blow up had happened. And when I'm coming from a good church, it kind of made me hesitant. I was very hesitant on, well, if the church is having these many problems, maybe there's, you know, undercurrents of issues that might not be seen. And I was very hesitant. And I spent the first year just kind of every class I went to as a freshman in college, knowing more than my professors, of course. I was judging them and making sure they were teaching what was right, and in all my Bible knowledge, I couldn't correct them because they were much smarter than I was. And I came to realize that this is a local New Testament church running ministries. One of my favorite things is what we that were in my classes that we went together, what we called ministry days. What a ministry day was, we were supposed to go to classes on Monday morning, but one of the examples would be there was a forest fire coming close to our campgrounds. And preacher said, our ministry has a need. We need to push back the jungle away from the cabins so that if the fire gets close, there'll be a gap between the trees and the cabins. So you know what he did? He looked at us college students and says, you're part of the ministry of Landmark Baptist Church. You're not going to class today. Put your grubby clothes on. You're working out at camp. It was a ministry day. We worked in the ministry because it was a local New Testament college. And I loved that about our college, still do love that about our college. When we go out on what we call our soul-winning marathon with our college, you know where they go to serve? A local New Testament church. They go to build a local New Testament church and assist, and so that when they door knock and they invite somebody to accept Jesus as their Savior, they don't just leave them hanging. They say, by the way, we're out here because right down the road is a local church where you can go. We're very local church here. We don't have any ministries that you would call a parachurch ministries, or somebody that, you know, you got the airplane and the ministry kind of parachutes away from the airplane. It's not that way. A parachurch ministry would be somebody within the ministry getting a heart for, let's just say, feeding the poor or helping the homeless. And so they go out and they buy some property, they get together with some friends, even within the church, and they start this ministry to help the poor. But it's not a local church ministry because they didn't do it through the authority of the local church. And what that means is if for one day somebody within that feeding the poor ministry gets upset and they decide they're going to leave Landmark, guess where the ministry goes? It goes with them. They're the head. That's not what God wants. God wants the ministries to be run by what he left here to reach the world. What did he leave? The church. He left Landmark Baptist Church. We have a ton of ministries here. I'm not even going to pretend to try and name them all, but we'll have to use some for an example. But every ministry you go to, let's just say our gospel radio station housed in our tower building there. If you go to the website, if you look at any materials from our radio station, you're going to find a very important phrase in every single piece of literature: a ministry of Landmark Baptist Church. You go to our college, you know what it says? Landmark Baptist College, a ministry of Landmark Baptist Church. You go to our curriculum down the road here, a ministry of Landmark Baptist Church. Every ministry that we are involved with is a ministry of Landmark Baptist Church. Now, I started thinking about that, and here's the realization that hit me. Well, if I say that the college is run by Landmark Baptist Church, what am I really saying? What is Landmark Baptist Church? It's us. Amen. It's you and me. We are Landmark Baptist Church. And so when I look at the Christian school, and I see what God is doing with the Christian school, and I watch what God is using the Christian school for, and somebody says, who runs that school? It's Landmark Baptist Church. It's a ministry of me. That's a ministry of me. I raise my hand and say, I am a member of Landmark Baptist Church. Yes, I am on staff. That means I'm here a lot more often than somebody that's not on staff. I do a lot more things within the ministry because it's my full-time job. But before I'm a staff member, you know what I am? I'm a member. I'm a member of Landmark Baptist Church. So when I sit and I look at these ministries, they are a ministry of me. That is my ministry, because my body, my local New Testament church, is doing that. If I say that I picked up this Oreo, what picked up this Oreo? My right hand did. It's doing the actual work of picking up the Oreo. But you know who picked up that Oreo? Michael John Case did. So you know who gets part of that? The left hand that's sitting in my pocket over here. Because he's part of the body, isn't he? He might not have done the work himself, but he's part of the local body that did the job. And by the way, he's going to have a job coming up soon that he's going to do too. It's not like he gets to sit there and be lazy. We all hate when our hand falls asleep and we can't do nothing with it. Yeah, we don't want church members that are just falling asleep and not doing anything, because you've got a job too. But when I look through the ministries, here's what I came to a realization of. I need to look at the ministries, I need to look at the church a little more personally, because I am Landmark Baptist Church. It's my church. It's not somewhere I go on Sundays. This is my church. I put my membership here. This is my church. So when I hear somebody talking about Landmark Baptist Church, I have to take it a little personally. You know why? They're talking about me. That's my church. That's me. You have something bad to say about Landmark Baptist Church, you're saying something bad about me. Now, I don't know about you, but you say something bad about my mama, I'm not going to be happy. You know why? Because that's my mama. You can talk bad about his mama, and I don't care. You can say anything you want about his mama. It ain't going to affect me at all. But you talk about my mama, then it affects me, because that's my mom. I have a personal connection with my mom. I love my mom. When we talk about Landmark Baptist Church, is it personal? Do we take it personal? Do we say, hey, that's my church. That's what my church is doing. When something happens within a ministry, let's just say over at the curriculum, and we hear something happen at the curriculum, and do we take that personally? Now, we might not go down to the curriculum hardly at all. You might have never been inside the curriculum building and even seen the materials that our curriculum puts out. You might have not have ever looked through a book. But if you're a member of Landmark Baptist Church, that's your ministry. That is a ministry of me. And so when I see things happening at the curriculum and I see the Lord using the curriculum, I have part in that, because it's run by my church. It's a ministry of me. Now, how does that affect our everyday lives? I am a newcomer here at Landmark. There's no doubt about that. I came here in 2001. I have not been here long. Landmark has been around a lot longer than I have. It's been serving the Lord and accomplishing great things for the Lord long before I ever showed up. When I came here to Landmark, I came to the college. I came to attend the college. In my knowledge, when I came to college, Landmark Baptist Church had always owned that building. Now, is that true? No. How many of you know that there was a lot of work put into that building? You know why? Because who fixed up that building? Landmark Baptist Church did. It wasn't staff. It wasn't a business that went out and hired people. You know who said, God's given us a building and we're going to use it for him? Landmark Baptist Church did. There is a lot of you that are in here today that put a ton of work into that ministry. You know why you put that work in there? Because it's owned by Landmark Baptist Church. Now, when I came in, it was just there. I've gone through and they've got pictures hanging in the lobbies of some of the way what the college used to look like. And I don't know if this is a fact, but I've heard the rumors that those pictures are about 6 months later after somebody did about 6 months of work and said, somebody really should take a picture of this mess. And so from what I understand is all the pictures are after about 6 months of hard work. And you really don't see how bad the college really looked before the church started working over there. It's a lot of work that's been put in to Landmark Baptist College. And who did it? Landmark Baptist Church. I came to preach our camp, and I don't remember what year it was, but my first camp out at Camp Glory, which we just finished up junior camp, and I'm about to have teen camp here in a couple weeks. My first camp was either the very first camp or the second camp, I'm not sure which, that the tabernacle was air conditioned. I have never been to Camp Glory without air conditioning. Many of you have. I don't wish I could go back and join you. I really don't. You can call them the good old days. I like my air conditioning. I just do. And I have to admit, I've heard preacher admit he likes the air conditioning. It's nice. But I don't know what the campgrounds looked like. My first year, we had a tabernacle with air conditioning out there. I've heard stories of the first camps out there where you couldn't drive back to camp. You had to walk. You know why? There was no road. And what they called a road was something that they could drive a tractor down, and that was about it. The camps were very primitive back then. There's still one cabin left over. I think it's there just kind of as a historic cabin. I wouldn't dare sleep in that cabin. But all the cabins used to look like that. I stand in that cabin going, wow, this was a lot of people that just wanted to take what God gave them, and they worked hard, and they took what God had, and look what they've built. You know who built that camp? Landmark Baptist Church did. There are a lot of people sitting in the pews right now that as I'm talking about the camp, memories are flooding back of being out at camp and slaving away out at camp and sweating and working hard because it wasn't easy work. But you know why you had to do it? Because God gave that camp not to an organization. He gave it to Landmark Baptist Church. And Landmark Baptist Church, every ministry we point to that has that tagline, a ministry of Landmark Baptist Church, has a history like that. Even the church itself, these buildings were not here when Dr. Carter started pastoring here. He pastored, as far as I understand, I wasn't here. If you go down to our elementary school building, the small building over there that's made into three classrooms, big enough to make three classrooms out of, that's it. That was the original church building. That's where Landmark Baptist Church started meeting. And God has used Landmark Baptist Church to reach Haines City, Florida in a miraculous way. Dr. Carter uses the example of the turtle on the fence post. You know somebody did something there. Well, that's Landmark Baptist Church. It wasn't because of the people. It's because God used the people to do something that they couldn't do on their own. But you know what has to happen? Is the church has to decide that I'm going to be used. The church is going to have to take it personally. All of these ministries have done a lot. And here's what I've come to a realization for in my own personal ministry, I guess you would call it. I have come into Landmark, and a lot of the church, some of them have gone on to home to their reward already that have put so much work into these buildings, into these ministries. I come in and I am inheriting a lot of work. And you know what I've come to realize? You know who God is going to use to take these ministries and lift his name as the preeminence? You know who God's going to continue to use to have Landmark Christian School making an impact in Haines City? Oh, the staff. No. Landmark Baptist Church. He's going to use us. That's our ministry. That's a ministry of me. You know who God is going to use to make the curriculum have an impact across the globe? Well, we hired staff for that. No. The staff definitely has an important job. It's a curriculum. You have to have people that run the printers. You have to have secretaries that take orders. I understand that. But you know whose ministry that is? Landmark Baptist Churches. It's your ministry. We need to take the ministries around here personally. It's not just my church that's doing this. It's me. I have been encouraged. Just because the Lord's been kind of showing this to me, I've noticed it more within our church. And I don't know I'm going to use this as an example, and I don't know if everything I'm saying is going to be 100% accurate. This is my perception of it. We have a church cookbook. You know who made that church cookbook? No staff. As far as I am aware, very little staff was involved in that. You know what happened? Landmark Baptist Church decided, we're going to do something. And they went to their pastor and they went to the authority and said, I'd like to do this. I'd like to try and accomplish this. And pastor said, have at it. You're the church. And I'm okay with that. This is a ministry we can do of the church. And we have a cookbook because of Landmark Baptist Church. Dr. Carter stood up a few weeks ago and says, we're going to do something a little bit different, something we haven't tried in many, many years. We're going to have a fish fry. Some staff was involved in that. Preacher told me I need some microphones, so I went out and got microphones. But you know who did most of the work? Landmark Baptist Church did. I was amazed at when preacher says, hey, we've got a need, something we're going to be doing here. I was amazed at how many people stood up and said, hey, I can do this part. I can take care of this. I can do this. My church is doing something. That means I'm doing something. That means I have a responsibility. Am I going to do it all? No. Am I going to spend 40 hours a week to do it? No, I can't spend 40 hours a week. I have a full-time job. But there's a part that I'm involved because it's my church body. It's a ministry of me. It's something I'm going to get personally involved in. The statement is said that in any church, and I don't know who created this statement, it's one of those things that someone said this, so it must be true. But I've watched it in action. The statement is said that in a church, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. How much more could we accomplish if every single person that raised their hand says, I am Landmark Baptist Church, if every single person says these are ministries of me. I have a personal responsibility to every ministry here. And if there's a need, if something's happening, if preacher says we're going to attempt something, then he's talking to me. I have a responsibility. I am going to do what God has called Landmark Baptist Church to do. And when God says it's time to do something, I'm going to listen to what the head, Christ, says